In this episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, please join us as we interview the creators of Dellands and Beyond, a Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world.
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Okay, so I'm Alex, also known as Mustang SVT, one of the administrators from Daylands and head North American DM from Daylands.
I'm Amy, aka Bucephalus. I'm administrator and head of the building on Daylands.
Hey, Justin here. I'm DM from the Realms of Trinity and a member of the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Hey, this is Brian, aka Sir Brian from Neverwinter Nights podcast and the Realms of Trinity. And you're listening to the 152nd episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games. It's been a couple weeks since our last interview. Had a little medical setback myself, had to get some surgery, so I wasn't able to record the week before last when we were scheduled to. But the guys from Dellands and Beyond were able to give us some time today, very short notice. So I want to say thank again to the guys over there at Dellands for coming on doing the interview for today. It's a great interview. Got to check them out. They run a very, very popular Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent world. It's set in the Forgotten Realms and in the Dellands, a lot about Shadow Dell. And very excellent role play, a lot of options, very open, but at the same time, just a lot of fun. And definitely stay tuned and listen to that interview because it is one of the best ones we've done to date, and it's really good and very knowledgeable. Definitely check it out. We got some interesting information. There's a new product that Jason's going to cover that BioWare Obsidian has released.
Yeah, so we have the Neverwinter Nights Complete on sale now. Atari is now offering the Neverwinter Nights 1 with all the expansions and the Kingmaker, plus Neverwinter Nights 2 with all expansions and Mysteries of Westgate. It's only $29 for everything. So there's a great deal. It's one of the greatest RPGs of all time. So maybe someone on your holiday list can merit such a great gift.
Heck yeah. And hopefully get some more fresh blood into the Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 persistent world scene. You know, try to get our numbers rebolstered. Definitely think it's a great opportunity, good time. And you know, if you know somebody who's a RPG or D&D player, this is something definitely want to recommend to them. And if they're a dreaded World of Warcraft player, certainly this is a good opportunity to get them off of that crack.
So move them over to Neverwinter Nights.
That's right, a real persistent world series. So, and you know, Neverwinter Nights 2 news specifically, we have Legacy Dark Age of Britain's coming up next month in December. What for their first year anniversary. They're going to join us on the show for episode 153, and they're going to go over how the first year went and updates from their first interview that they had with us. Guys are awesome. They put together a really in-depth, persistent world, very customized, focusing on literally the Dark Age of Britain. And they spent a ton of time and detailed effort to make this persistent world as fresh and as unique as possible and give a really good environment and experience. So if you get a chance, check them out. They are definitely worth checking out and staying and playing a lot. So definitely take a look at that. And a big thing here, this is the announcement for the winner of our Neverwinter Nights 2 creature model contest. His handle is rather hard to pronounce. We'll just call him Jestum. He has created a plethora of creature models for Neverwinter Nights 2, and we've definitely taken, there was one other participant, but the quality and everything didn't come close to the Jesters, Jestums stuff. He produced, like I said, a plethora of content, a lot of new undead models, one awesome lich one is a playoff of a Mind Flayer, but it was a fantastic idea, and the ease and setup of everything that he's done has been great, and I'm sure that a lot of people in their modules of persistent worlds will be able to use this to enhance or expand their experiences for players. Definitely want we tip our hats to Justin, and we're contacting him now for his t-shirt and whatnot. So definitely want to point that out there.
Yeah, and also in Neverwinter Nights 2 news, we have a new Elven sword pack by Chuck Arino. And this is a set of Elven-style swords. They were inspired by the artist of Tom Loback's wonderful illustrations from the Silmarillion. There's a dagger, a short sword, long sword, bastard sword, and a great sword. They have all the models, templates, textures, everything. You can just download it, dump it right in the override to get it into the game. But the models look really good. Definitely nice to have some new weapon models out there. Not the same old ones all the time. So check them out. They're on the vault.
Yep. I've taken a personal look at those. They're very well done, easy to implement. If you're looking for some specific new type models, definitely something you might want to add to your system world or module if that's the flavor of the module you're trying to go with. Definitely worth your time. So, and last but not least, we have a real quick update. We have just got done at the Realms of Trinity rescaling our first good portion of our first campaign. So if you've been a Realms of Trinity player and you've come on the server, you found it rather difficult to play alone, or you're more of a solo player, the entire, I'd say not the entire campaign, but a good portion of the first campaign has been scaled, and a lot of options have been opened, cheaper products, better items at the store available, tons of drops. A lot of good stuff. If you're a solo player, this is the time to join and check it out. It actually would be better if you even had two players in your party, because the number of mobs won't change for one or two players. But it's still totally doable by any average building. You'll need to be a power builder or some kind of crazy builder. This is certainly will suit your build style if you just want to log in, have fun with something more casual, or just actually something you'd like to try out. This would be a time to do it. Our goal is to have the entire first campaign rescaled by the end of the month, which is only a few more days. This is at the end of November. So by December 1st, we'll have the entire thing rescaled, but definitely a good portion of it already has been. So with the numbers of the persistent world shrinking a little bit these days, it definitely was time to take another good old look at all your old faithful Realms of Trinity and get it rescaled, because we definitely had it way harder than it needed to be for a smaller player base. So it was definitely a good time to get it back in, start from the ground up, and do those types of modifications. So you got anything else, Sir Jaston?
I do not. I think we're ready to get into the interview.
All right. Well, join us as we interview Mustang and Bucephalus from Deadlands and Beyond. Hey, thanks, Mustang and Bucephalus, for coming on the Neverwinter Nights podcast to talk about the Deadlands and Beyond. Just to get started, you want to tell us a little bit about yourselves, a little bit of background, how you got started, and be as personal as you want.
So I'm the co-founder of Deadlands Beyond, together with Bucephalus. We started the server, I started being part of the server about a year and a half ago, but the actual server project started quite a couple of months before that. So a bit about me is I'm actually a software developer, so I have a lot of experience with scripting, coding, software management practices. I have a degree in software engineering, so that's my specialty. Deadlands is the first community project I've been involved with, so I've never run a server before this, so most of it I'm learning. I've learned as the server has progressed. I do most of the scripting. Right, I'm in charge of most of the updates for the server. So any content that gets made or areas or that type of thing, usually goes through me for testing or for verifying. The other thing is I've played Forgotten Realms games for a long time. Fairly familiar with the setting. And I really do love the setting a lot. I used to play Neverwinter Nights 1 many, many years ago, but never got involved with staff or any server. Around late 2009, I started playing Dragon Age, and since it didn't have multiplayer, I went back to Neverwinter Nights 2. Eventually, I ran into DM Bucephalus on another server, and when they told me they were making Deadlands, I offered to help, and for the past year and a half, I've helped progress the server to where it is now. I think that's about all I can say about myself. Oh, and I'm from Canada.
Sweet. No, that's awesome.
I'm Bucephalus. I currently live in Georgia, but I'm originally from Massachusetts. And an interesting thing is me and Mustang have never met in person. We've never known each other in person. It's all been over the internet that we've run this together. And it just happens to work out really good. We were really good RP friends on a Never Winter Nights 2 server. And I basically stopped playing as much. And I started getting pestered. What are you doing? Where are you? How come you're not on? And so I finally had to blurt out that, well, I've been toying with building my own persistent world. This is actually my second attempt at a Neverwinter Nights 2. I actually had a world called Azrath that didn't do too well, and I gave up for a while. And I wasn't too serious about this at first, but Mustang's like, come on, we can do this. He was kind of the cheerleader of the, you know, you can do it, and I know you can do it. We can do it together. If we both work together, we can do it. And I already had probably about 5 or 6 areas built before he came on board with me. And I am not a programmer. I'm not a scripter. I'm not a computer graphics person. I am a jack of all trades person. I'm self-taught everything. I'm probably an amateur scripter, but I taught it myself. I never actually even played the original campaign on Neverwinter 2. I pre-ordered the game, hit straight into the tool set, and started messing around with that. And I went straight to Persistent Worlds. I didn't even bother with the original campaign at all. And that's probably it about me.
That's cool. Yeah, a lot of people that we've interviewed, they haven't played the campaign either, so that's not a surprise. I mean, they get just for the tool set and the stuff like that. So
yeah, I haven't played the campaign either. So
yeah, there's not. If you play the original Neverwinter Nights campaigns, I mean, it's very similar, and you know, it depends on what you want to do. If that's why you bought the game, then you'll play the thing. But if you're doing it because you have interest in building and all the other stuff, yeah, it's really a secondary type of thing. Maybe just to get a feel of what the engine can handle, but that's about it, really.
Can you guys tell us a little bit about the background story of the Dalelands, and also what is needed to get started playing, and kind of how long you've been live now?
Oh, yes, I'll answer. The background story is a setting of, it's in Shadowdale. It's set in, we use 3.5 rule set, but it's set the Shadowdale scouring of the land with Elminster gone, and currently the Zentharium are in control of Shadowdale. And Mistfort, the elves have returned and have started rebuilding.
Yeah, for playing on the server, we just use the standard auto-downloader. So as long as you have enough free space on your hard drive, somebody can just go and hop on the server. Once you get on, we have another character area that has most of the rules, and we give players and items in their inventory. Has most rules. We used to have a server password because the server was full very often, and we implemented this system where anytime it was over 50 players, there was a password on. We've since taken that off since the player base has dwindled down a little bit. So we
implemented that actually because we found a lot of our regular, hardcore, dedicated players couldn't get on, especially when the game went on sale on Steam. So it wasn't a secret password. You could easily get it off our forums, but it's just a way to make sure that people who are logging on, especially when it's full, were actually going to the forums and at least looking at some of the stuff before they were just logging on.
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea. I think as persistent world runners, a lot of people, they just jump on. They don't take the time at all to even get a basic understanding of how the stuff works, and it could end up being a drain, especially when you have a player base that large.
There is a movie a player made, and we actually have a link on our forums that basically gives a quick and dirty 3-minute rundown of the setting. So people, if they very least just watch that, they'll have some idea of what's going on.
That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
that's a very cool movie that player made.
Yeah, that's actually awesome to get people to actually watch to see how to get started to play. That's the first time I've actually heard anybody doing that. That's really slick.
And 3 minutes isn't too much of an investment up front.
So how long has it been live?
The server went public in August last year, so it's been about a year and a half. Maybe a year and 5 months so far.
That's excellent. So you have any special event or anything for the first year anniversary? Or?
Let me think here. Well, we had this Shadowdale festival. We had this like harvest, like farmer festival recently. That sort of was like a 1 year anniversary because we did one about a year ago when the server first started as like a major event to get players to know the staff and just to get players together. And recently we had a 2-week long festival that some of the players were able to participate in. And that was sort of our first year anniversary. This coming winter, we're planning to have some of the areas remodeled for snow, just as we had last year. And that, I guess that'll be a real anniversary, because in our first few months, we only had a few players. Like, the server was empty most of the time. It was around early January to late December that our player base picked up.
That's cool. Would you do anything specific for that, like marketing, or what do you think helped you get to that?
Honestly, we started out as just Daylands Beyond, and I think a lot of people were avoiding it because people really liked the Forgotten Realms setting, and they didn't realize we were Forgotten Realms. So I swear to gosh, I think it started picking up when we changed our names to Forgotten Realms Daylands.
Yeah, that's because a lot of people don't necessarily know the Daylands. If Forgotten Realms, they may not know the Daylands is actually a very significant part of the Forgotten Realms game world. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, for me, it's kind of difficult to say because I was actually away from the server for nearly a month during the time it got big. And we changed the name of the server just before I left for my trip. And when I left, we had maybe 15 players, or at peak times, or maybe a little bit less than that. Got back, we had 30. So something happened during that time that gave us a lot more players. I like to believe it's luck, and the name, like Bucephalus said, that has gotten us this far. Because it was difficult in the first 6 months. I mean, it was sometimes difficult to deal with an empty server, and like you said, most people are just familiar with the games that have come out. So the Neverwinter area, the Baldur's Gate area, the Omnish area from Baldur's Gate 2. Not everyone has heard of Daylands, but a lot of people have heard of Forgotten Realms. But what I did, the way we came up with the idea was, we were having this trouble of having any players on. And I basically just went and I looked at all the popular servers on Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 and kind of tried to find a common factor between them. And that seemed to be at the time.
Yeah, we decided the common factor is being familiar with it, is players, having some concept of them. Like, Baldur's Gate was popular because there was Baldur's Gate in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided what we needed was some way that people could say, oh, this is something I'm familiar with, or I feel comfortable playing on.
Yeah, that's, I tell you what, I mean, I laugh about it, but I think that's freaking awesome. I love it. Yeah, that's the way you got to think about stuff sometimes, because there is a lot of options out there, and the one way to separate it out is to very clearly identify who you really are. It's not like you're doing anything like cheesy. It's actually what you are. I mean, that's awesome. I can't say it enough. So,
feel free to borrow it. We're sharers.
We might actually do that, but take out what under advised. We might actually do that if you don't think it's too cheesy. We might. How would you classify a type of PWR? Like, I noticed you're in a role play. Would you kind of classify yourself as low magic, medium, or high?
I would say medium. We don't allow things over +5.
I'd say it's about low to medium. We don't have an overabundance of very high magic items, but there is some really good items do exist, and some of the spellcast classes can be fairly powerful. So I'd say somewhere around medium. And for the type of the world, we focus on our very RP centric. So we ask players not to stay out of character.
Something else that was cool that I saw is you have to have at least 3 levels of all classes at level 20. And so this means that you can't take another class after 18th level, or you'd be in violation of the rule. And how is that enforced? Is that a script or some reporting, or what do you guys do there exactly?
We have a system that informs us if anyone's violation rule. Usually when a player has done it, it's usually just a mistake, and we help fix the player. So if there is, we've had somebody break that rule before, but we found out about it as they got to like level 20. So they didn't, and we helped them out. Somebody may have just misread the rule or misunderstood the rule.
So then you just manually fix them?
Yeah.
Character
fix. Yeah, we usually just manually.
Yeah, it's cool.
We just find that having that rule cuts down on a lot of power building. And, we really feel by level 20, we feel that your classes are a big part of your character, and they're not something you should just be ignoring and not RPing. So we figure by level 20, your character's path in life should already be set a bit, and it shouldn't be after level 20 that you're divulging into new paths.
Yeah, like Bucephalus said, it's the reason we have the rule is we kind of see it that once you get 20th level, you're kind of an expert in something.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the player from there on becoming more of like a master in that field rather than taking new classes. And because we have a certain XP progression where past level 20, it's actually very slow. So it's not really much of a competition after level 20.
Well, at least, see, the fact is you have progression after level 20, which still is incentive, even if it is slow. That gives a benefit for people who are dedicated to their character and continue to build their character, which is great. I mean, that's exactly what you want. And you avoid a burnout factor. Because I know a lot of times you end up, if you have a really fast track to level 30, or if that's like the final point, you get a lot of burnout. Because people are just burning up to level 30 and they just get tired of it, I guess. But if you're giving continual challenges like that, even at level 20, that gives plenty of, like you said, they're experts at what character they've built. And they build from there, however, they continue that progression. So that is cool.
Yeah, that's kind of how we see it. We try to make it so that like past level 20, players are kind of relaxed in terms of the progression is so slow after that you're not in a rush to get to level 30, but there's still this goal out there. On the other hand, right, 30 levels, the epic levels in Neverwinter Nights 2 are rather unbalanced, so. It's got its pros and cons.
Yeah, you don't. I think one thing that a lot of times when you do, if you do allow over level 20, it's a little bit hard to keep enough headroom ahead, so you don't have to overly compensate on the mobs and make, like you said about the balance. So it's one thing that seems to be a challenge amongst a lot of persistent worlds and period in Neverwinter 2 is keeping that balance pass there. So you're right. That is something definitely got to keep in mind for sure.
Well, honestly, on our mobs, we do not try to scale up our mobs to uber epic levels. We try to make them something that somebody with an RP build still has a chance at. I really feel like, and it's something I said from the start, that if we make super uber mobs, that we're just going to have players that are power building just so they can actually survive in the world versus people that feel like they don't have to power build it. They can have an RP build and still survive in the world.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's good. That's a very good way of looking at it too. I never even thought of that. That's a very good way of looking at things. Because if you don't give it,
I do have one last thing to add about this question. I would say in general restrictions, we kind of try to avoid having this kind of rule. Because we kind of feel those restrictions may not necessarily be a good thing sometimes. I think players prefer not to have restrictions, but at the same time, we've sort of found it like a necessary way to ensure that that we can kind of build the creatures with some type of player power in.
Yeah, there's definitely a balance of how you do that, and you're giving yourself the tools to be able to come, go through that. I think that's absolutely necessity and perfect, actually. I noticed that there's quite a few extra classes from the standard Neverwinter 2 classes. Can you tell us about them and the ones that you've added and where you've gotten them from, or if they're Cadran PRC or they're homebrew?
Do you want to talk about them?
Yeah, okay. They are all Cadran. And Cadran actually works very closely with us, helping them to giving us suggestions on how to balance some of his classes for a persistent world and even making some custom balancing scripts for us. So all of our custom classes are Cadran, and we can't brag enough about how helpful he is in that. Really can't.
Yeah, he is fantastic. We use his PRC pack too, and he's been nothing but supportive, ever since we start using it. So we have the same exact experience with him as well. He's a fantastic member of the community, no doubt.
So how many DMs do you guys have on staff right now?
There's 18 active Dungeon Master staff. And I think we have four builders right now and three DMs on extended leave that might come back or something.
That's quite a few DMs, you guys.
Yeah, that's extremely impressive.
Are you guys still looking for more, or do you think you have the right number with that?
We're always looking for more if they're real, if they're the right person. We tend to be really nitpicky. We've had some bad experiences with some people in the past, and I'm a really big stickler about favoritism and abuse of DM power. There's just nothing that really makes me angrier than catching anybody doing that, and it'll be what gets you off the team more than anything. I mean, you can call me every name in the book, but if I find out that you're abusing your power, or giving super uber items to your friends, or giving yourself levels, or giving yourself items, I'm gonna get real mad real fast.
Which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
You spend all that time working on a server, and somebody's, dropping the house over everybody. I mean, that'll destroy you faster than anything. You're right.
But on top of that, I have to stop and say, right now we have a fantastic staff. I almost feel like there's some higher power to me building this. I know it sounds crazy, but I picked up Mustang playing with him, and then other just really great people just sort of fell into my lap. We have this girl, Hyper-V. She's one of our scripters that's just amazing. Has made so many DM tools for us. It's insane the stuff that she comes up with. Stuff that we even go, what, how the heck does she do that? Just, and I can't brag enough about, we have a lot of dedicated DMs that just, they do it for the love of DMing. They get very little in return. They get a lot of grief sometimes, and they all just sort of fell into my lap. I just, one day there they were, and I'm like, hey, I've been extremely lucky or something. I don't know.
That's definitely helpful when you get a team like that together. And I do believe that's like, it is kind of a destiny type thing. When you get a bunch of people to fall in your lap that you had no idea that were, or how it was going to come together, that certainly helps to make Persistent World successful and your project successful.
Lucky.
Yeah. It is, but you, it, and I'll say this from my own experiences, that you make your own luck to a certain extent, because you put yourself out there. You've dedicated yourself to creating your persistent world, and it, with the level of detail that you have and the quality that you have, and people flock to that. You're actually, because of your dedication, you're putting yourself in a position to get those people in place. That's one thing that for sure. Yeah, there's some luck, don't get me wrong, but you're right. But at the same time, a lot of that's because your dedication to the project. That's the bottom line, I think. You've been alive for a little over a year. Well, yeah, about 15 months now. What are some of the challenges that you face running a Neverwinter Nights 2 persistent role that you found?
Besides, you can go first.
I would say personalities, not just staff, but we have some interesting player personalities, and getting some personalities that are on opposite ends of the spectrum that want to clash with each other all the time to kind of settle down and step back and just take a deep breath. It's just a game, Sometimes we have to tell a few people just calm down. It's just a game. Your real life has not ended. Everything's okay.
For me, it's time constraints. And mainly trying to balance it with my real job. There's probably countless difficulties I could list part of running the server, but for me, it comes down to if I have a difficult time at my job, it does make it difficult to concentrate on dedicating for the server. So for me, that's the greatest challenge, trying to keep up that level of dedication while balancing with my real life job.
Your server is very well laid out and original. Can you tell us some of the player reactions to the different and detailed setup that you guys have created?
I'd have to say that most players love it. I mean, we have had some negative comments, and we try to take negative comments as ways we can improve, and there are a lot of suggestions that players have made that we've taken to heart and actually implemented, even if it's just something as simple as I think one player suggested that we get rid of the neon green grass, for instance. So we went through the whole mod and started changing up the grass, or finding ways to tone the color down so it wasn't quite so green, and just little things like that. But overall, I would say our players are very happy, and a lot of those do. We have some really talented builders too. I know I was the original builder and did the original start area of Shadowdale, but we have a lot of really, really talented builders that just blow me out of the water, especially with their texture work. They're just visually, they make some really amazing areas.
I find it funny you asked this question, because I always seem to nitpick all of our server organization and sometimes look at other servers and I tried to learn from their organization. I'd say based on the popularity of the server so far for the past year, player reaction has been mostly positive. There is still a good number of rough edges that we are trying to...
Well, you can always improve, right? So...
Yeah, true. When we started this, I remember me and Mustang saying about, wow, wouldn't it be great if we could have 15 players on all the time? You know, this was not planned. This wasn't expected. We were thinking we'll be lucky if we have 15 or 20 players and we would be happy with that. So it's kind of like the sudden popularity was kind of fly by seat of our pants in a way. So we've had to kind of improvise.
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing on 15, you end up getting 50. That is, yeah, I can see that. I mean, just talking about what you were talking about before about improving, you know, you've only been live 15 months and you've already put together a fantastic Persistent World. I guarantee you that, you know, in no time at all, but when you look back on things, you will have the edges smooth the way you want to. You know, a lot of players probably don't even notice that those edges need to be done because you're thinking about because you built the server. But I will say this, after, you know, we've been live over 3 years now, and, you know, looking back, I definitely at your stage, we were definitely below where you're at now. So you're definitely doing a really good job at doing what you've done, and to be able to maintain a server, you know, as many players as you have on it consistently, is that in itself is a testament of how well you build everything. So you definitely, you know, definitely there's always can improve, but, you know, you're doing a fantastic job from what we've seen so far.
Oh, thanks. Well,
thanks.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that should go.
I was saying we do have a big advantage over some of the other Persistent Worlds are having to pay to rent their servers. We actually own our server, and a lot of our donations in the first year went to improving things and things like more RAM. We got a solid state hard drive in it. So, you know, we do have that big advantage that we can upgrade our server whenever we have the money and we feel like it.
Do you have regularly scheduled events?
Yeah, we have a mix of both. There is for most of the player factions, most of their events are regularly scheduled, and sometimes the player themselves asks for a DM to assist them with the scheduled event. The other half is just the things we think of on the spot, or it just depends on DM availability. I'd say it's probably about half regularly scheduled, half whenever availability, whenever a DM is available.
It's like more like a hit and run type of event, like DM comes on anywhere. Yeah, that's cool.
Sometimes we used to focus more. Lately, we focus a bit more on scheduled events, but for the longest time, we focused primarily on sort of run of the mill or spontaneous events, mainly because there were so many players. And if you get more than 10 players in an area, it's a bit difficult to keep up with everyone. So we kind of try to avoid too many players at a time.
Yeah, definitely. If you get too many, sometimes it can be, I don't know, at least from our experiences, it's been kind of hard to keep everybody focused on what you're doing and paying attention to what you're doing. So keeping the party size a little smaller definitely would help administering the event for sure. Yeah, definitely.
We really try to encourage our players to talk to us. I mean, we try not to be scary people that you can't talk to. We really encourage our players that if there's something they feel would further their character, or if there's some interesting RP that, because we can't be everywhere at once and there are things that happen in the game that we simply don't see, that we really encourage them to PM one of us, bring it to our attention, you know, ask for a personal event. Like this afternoon, I have to be on and play the role of a character's long lost father that he requested in order to advance his RP and his character. And we're glad to do things like that. We just ask that, you know, people contact us. We can't do what we don't know about, but if we know about it, we will be happy to find a way to make it happen.
Having personal involvement with the player base is definitely huge. And in encouraging people to talk to you about stuff, because a lot of people, they won't offer up their... Some people are very opinionated, which I'm sure you I'm sure you have players that way, but a lot of people, they just get on play and they don't say much. But if you're out there encouraging, you'll be surprised at stuff that you hear, and I'm sure you experienced that a lot.
Yeah, it's been, we've had some people we've had to encourage more than others. I've really found that, with the long time players, they have been on servers where they feel like they haven't been treated fair, or they feel the staff has been very aloof or rude or, you know, any number of things. And so there's some players where we really have to try and convince them that we're not that way, that really I started as a player and this I've played for years. And I've been in that same situation on a server where I felt the staff was just ignoring me or didn't like me or whatever the case was. So I know where they're coming from. And we really, really try to put ourselves out there and say, look, we're just not like that. I know you've had those experiences. I know you think all staff is that way, but it's just not true.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's unfortunately, I know what you're talking about just from with playing around different servers myself. Yeah, that you do run into that. I mean, there are a lot of servers out there, and you connect. It seems like you know, you get that like aloofness and you know, not being treated fairly and stuff. And the fact that you make sure that ain't the case, that's not the case of how things are going. Plus the fact you've got 18 staff. That's awesome. I mean, that's what gets the 50 people online right there. Give a good respite for people who want to play D&D online and give them the opportunity to play in a good controlled place like that. That's awesome.
I just want to add a little to what Bucephalus said. We've had our own difficulties in running the server and dealing with some players from time to time. And I can definitely see that, you know, running a server isn't easy. And I've noticed a lot of time it's easier for somebody to point out the flaws than realize how much work goes behind the server. So I can kind of understand how somebody could say something about some certain server, and then they might say the same thing about us without realizing what's, you know, just how much effort or work goes into making a server. You know, I realize there's sometimes misunderstandings. So I definitely appreciate anyone that runs a server. You know, we all make mistakes from time to time, and I definitely appreciate for anyone that is dedicated to running their own server.
Yeah, definitely it is a commitment. No doubt about that.
Yeah, so I just mean I try to explain to players sometimes if they have a concern about something or if they bring a concern from a different server that things are not quite as straightforward as they seem on the surface, and you know, try and be cooperating and understanding.
I can brag about Hyper-V some more. I know I like to drop that name, but she's just amazing. She made this whole system where we can actually, you know, mark a player that we had interaction with, and we database it so that let's say we feel like doing a spontaneous event and there's a group of players. We can actually look and see who hasn't had an event in a while and make sure that we tailor our event more geared for that person. Like if we see that they're good, make sure it's a good event that they can be involved in because they haven't had one in a while.
That's neat. So you track when the last time each player was
involved? We track the DM love. Yeah, we basically track the DM love and try to make sure that we get to some of those people that haven't had some in a while.
Nice. That's really cool.
Yeah, that's a good idea. You make sure everybody gets involved. So over the course of running the Persistent World, I'm sure you've had many enjoyable moments.
Moments,
yeah. What would you say is your most memorable or enjoyable moment that you've had running the Dalelands?
I think my most enjoyable moments are just when I have a player that PMs me on the forums or in the game and just, you know, is so thankful and, you know, and not just about me, if it's just about one of our other DMs doing something for them or even another player who's a great RPer that they got to play with. It's just really, really nice to see that you made a difference and made someone happy and, you know, made their day a little brighter just by having the server available.
Yeah, for me, it would be after the server has grown for a while, I came to realize just so many areas we'd had in and how I could go, you know, finally go exploring for a good while. That was probably a pretty memorable moment for me, just logging onto the server one day and getting a grasp of just how much stuff I could do. Other memorable moments would probably be what I like to do is I like to suggest some ideas to players sometimes, and if I see them improving it in many ways, those are very enjoyable moments for me.
Like a role-playing idea?
Yeah, like a role-playing idea. Like if I present a player with a puzzle, and if I give them like a small hint about a part of the puzzle, and then if I see that player take that idea and make something special out of it, to me that brings me a lot of enjoyment as part of DMing.
Yeah, it is cool. I mean, well, yeah, you're getting. It's also another way to get involved with somebody individually and help build a, you know, a good rapport with somebody. If they're getting that personal attention, they're going to be, you know, obviously that's going to make them feel good, and as well as you actually getting the satisfaction of being able to help somebody out and actually take some interest in a player's actions, which is really cool. Because they know that, you know, they know who you are and everything like that, and that you're taking that level of involvement to the next level.
Yeah. The other thing I could say is I really like seeing when some of the players give props to some of our other staff members, especially ones that I've tried to help get on the staff. You know, it makes me very thankful that I was able to help make that person make the server better in some way.
That's right. You know, in closing, I want to thank both of you for coming on the show and talking about the Dellalands and sharing with our audience about all the great work you've done. Hopefully get them all on your server and check it out. And, you know, taking the time, I know you're busy and everything, to get on here to talk about it. I really appreciate that. And
it's an honor for me. I never thought I'd be on a Never One Nights podcast, to be honest. So,
hey, you know, that's awesome. Thank you. And once again, it's an honor to have you guys on top of that. And, you know, before we close, is there anything else you'd like to cover with the audience and your players before we close out the show?
I'd really just like to brag on the Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 communities. I mean, I've played quite a few other role-playing games. I've tried some. I'm not going to mention them. They would just be mean. But I've tried them. There's a lot of trolls and just people that were downright mean. And I don't know. It just there's a more feeling of, even though there's, you know, some people might say we're competitors with other worlds, I think there's more of a feeling of trying to help each other out in Neverwinter Nights 2 than there is on other persistent world, you know, role-playing games out there. For some reason, I don't know why, but there is. And I'm really just thankful that exists, you know, here, you know, if not anywhere else.
You just rehashed a common thread that, you know, I bring up constantly, is the fact that, like you were saying, that there is like an air, at least I felt it out there before, is there is an air, like you were saying, about people think you're a competitor versus a part of a community, which is not the case. When what gives the strength of the community is that everybody works together. That's what the whole definition of a community is.
Yeah, and the other thing is, I have to think a lot. We use a lot of custom content on our world. Probably, you know, I know I mentioned Cadron, but there's a lot of other people's stuff we use too, and I try to keep up with our list, but I just have to be really thankful for all the people that have more talent than I do in terms of making creatures, or, you know, we use some of Chimney Fish's stuff, we use some of Jester's stuff, the toned down stuff, and Bouncy Rock. I mean, I can't even list all the people's content that we use in our persistent world that is available because they went ahead and put it out there for us.
Oh yeah, definitely the community content creators are huge. I agree with you totally.
I guess in closing, I would say, you know, people look to me and maybe some of the other DM staff, like DM Bucephalus, for bringing all these updates to the server, but most of the work is done by our builder staff and people like Cadron and some of those content creators on the Neverwinter Nights Vault. And I'm very thankful that those kind of people exist. Like Bucephalus said, I've played some other online RPGs, and there's definitely games out there that are better than Neverwinter Nights 2, but not in terms of community. I've found it almost impossible to find another game that has the same level of role play activity in one central spot. So I'm very glad that there's still people that play it and that we have all these tools to make.
Without the tools, it would be a lot harder to do, if not impossible. Even just look at the Neverwinter Nights Extender, NWNX, and what, you know, all those features that they added for that. I mean, even that alone, without that, we'd be in the dark ages.
Yeah, for sure. This is something I mentioned to some of our players before. Some time ago, about maybe 8, maybe 10 months ago, when we went over 15 players or so, we weren't using all the Neverwinter Nights Extender plugins, all the necessary ones. And, you know, we had a lot of lag problems. So I definitely something I'm very appreciative of, because the default netcode on the server is not that great. Without that NWNX and some of those plugins, there's no way you could have more than 20 players on the server.
Yeah,
some players don't quite realize that, right? But
right. No, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah, it'd be very difficult, if not impossible, to do 90% of what we do without it. So it's a huge, huge bonus, you know, on top of the content, you know. I just can't say enough either. They're definitely, I can't give enough praise to them either. Give you one of you the closing line.
If you're listening to this, Daylanders, get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity. We're solely responsible for its contents.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2011.